Of Luke. We're going to be looking in the Gospel of Luke this morning, chapter 1, verse 46, is where we'll start, the Lord willing. Luke 1, 46. We're going to read 46 through 55. These are the words of Mary, the mother of Jesus. Luke 1, 46. And Mary said, My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for he hath regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. For behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. He hath showed strength with his arm. He hath scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He hath put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He hath filled the hungry with good things, and the rich he hath sent empty away. He hath holpen his servant Israel in remembrance of his mercy, as he spake to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. If I read that correctly, brethren, that's Luke 1, 46 through 55. Let's pray. Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for these words of Mary that they're recorded for us to read, study, rejoice in. Thank you, Father, for blessing us to know that all Scripture is given by your inspiration and is profitable to us. Oh God, may we profit today from this Scripture and others. Come, please, by the Holy Spirit and teach us. Come and direct me, please, my thoughts. Direct all our thoughts. May we get the word from you, O God. Move in us and in our minds, our spirits, souls. Direct us, teach us. Make us to rejoice, O God, and we'll give you honor and glory. Get honor and glory, O God, from whatever we do today. Thank you for the hymns we were able to sing and look at the words and rejoice in them. Now, Lord, may we rejoice in you. Rejoice, rejoice. Emmanuel shall come to us. O Israel, spiritual Israel, the Israel of God. In Jesus' name, in the name of Emmanuel, we pray, the name above all names. Amen. Oh, brethren, I love these words. We had a minister's school this week, Monday and Tuesday, and one of the ministers commented about verse, what number is it, for he that is mighty, verse 49, for he that is mighty hath done to me great things. One of the ministers said that. I don't remember the context, but he said that. And when he said it, another minister chimed in and said, that's what I'm planning to preach on Sunday. And I didn't at that moment have a text for today. And I said, well, maybe the Lord's speaking to me. Maybe I should look up that verse and study it. It's part of the expression of Mary. And so I studied it. I got to thinking about it all week. I kept turning it over in my mind and I began to study it. I knew some of what she said besides this verse. I knew the context of it. And I began to have thoughts about it all during the week and began to study it. And so here I am. And this morning in that text that some of the preachers send around, we try to encourage one another, and we will sometimes cite Scripture. And I cited this verse, and one of the preachers said, sounds like a lot of us are going to preach on the same verse this morning, which is a good thing. I think there are some churches that they get their sermons from a sort of a central place, and they all preach the same thing. And there's probably something to be said for that, but there's also, we got to be led by the Spirit of God. We must be led by the Spirit of God. So here are these words, brethren, for background, and these are the words of Mary. They start off, and Mary said. Do you know the context of what's happening here? Mary and her cousin Elizabeth have met together. Mary has gone to see Elizabeth. They no doubt knew each other from days gone by. They were cousins. But they're meeting here for the first time since something has happened. They're both pregnant at this point. Elizabeth, an older woman, past childbearing years, barren all her life, never had a baby, wanted one desperately. She and her husband, his name was Zacharias. Well, she's expecting, brethren. And Mary, a young woman with childbearing years all ahead of her, is expecting. But the thing is, she has no husband, and she's never had a sexual relationship with a man. And she's expecting. Miracle, miracle. I'd say this is the greater miracle, but they're both miraculous. You can read in earlier in this chapter about Zacharias and Elizabeth. He was a priest. I preached about him and love to read the history of that and preach about it. But Mary's talking here because she's just come to see Elizabeth and something spectacular has happened and she's praising God for it. Two prophecies are being fulfilled. Prophecies that are recorded all in the Old Testament are being fulfilled. God's been silent for hundreds of years just before this. He's been silent. There have been prophecies. Oh, brethren, as far back as Genesis now, there was a prophecy. God says, I will put enmity between thee and the woman. God's talking to Satan. I'm going to put enmity between you two and between thy seed and her seed. The woman's seed, brethren, is the baby that Mary is carrying in her womb as she speaks in Luke. It shall bruise thy head, the seed of the woman, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Oh, you're going to hurt him, Satan. You're going to hurt him physically. You're going to hurt him. And his visage is going to be changed and marred. We studied about that last week, didn't we? What all was done to Jesus. But Satan, he's going to crush your head. I don't know if I've told you this before or not, but where I grew up, we had lots of rattlesnakes. We killed them every summer. Many every summer. My daddy had a hickory stick. It was about this long. And he would walk up to a rattlesnake and just whack his head, crush his head. I mean, I've seen him just walk up just like this, whack. I mean, not even pause, not make sure there's no limbs, make sure there's no hole. I mean, just walk right up to him, like a man hitting a baseball, walking up to the plate. He would crush their head. And that's what, brethren, that's what God says that Jesus is going to do to Satan. He's going to destroy you. He's going to defeat you. Maybe that's why so many of us dislike snakes so much and fear them. I don't know. Some people don't. I see people holding them. You won't see a picture of me holding a snake. You won't ever see that. I won't be holding him. No. I'll be running or either be shooting. One of the two. Or running over him with the car or whatever. But brethren, I digress. Mary and Elizabeth are talking, and as they're speaking, brethren, they realize that these prophecies, I would suggest to you, Mary knew that prophecy right there. That's Genesis chapter 3. Brethren, you can't get much further back in the history, in the book, and the gods with God and man than Genesis. And this is Genesis 3. It's probably got 50-something chapters. I don't know. But there it is. It's way back there. And from then on, brethren, God says he's coming. He's coming. And the last two Sundays, I preached to you about prophecies. Isaiah 52. My servant shall deal prudently. My servant's coming. He's going to serve me, God says. And it talked about his visage was changed and how he's going to sprinkle his people. He's going to sprinkle people in every nation. That blood's going to be sprinkled on them. It's going to be shed. That was Isaiah. And then last week was Jeremiah and the prophecy about that. Another one, 700 years, brethren, before it came. In those days and at that time, looking forward, Jeremiah sees it. God shows him. In those days, and brethren, the days now have come that these two women who are miraculously pregnant. They're talking about it. Though the day has come, brethren, it's the fullness of time. He's come. Behold, the day has come that I will perform that good thing which I have promised unto the house of Israel and to the house of Judah. Oh, brethren, isn't that beautiful? Isn't that wonderful, brethren? God says it, and it's happening. This is Jeremiah saying, in those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness to grow up unto David. Oh, brethren, that was last week. We looked at those verses. And now this week, brethren, right here, you got these two women talking, these two cousins, both expecting babies. And they realize, brethren, that the prophecies is being fulfilled right now in us, in those two people right there. They had probably been in the synagogue or the temple when those prophecies from Isaiah and Jeremiah were read. A scroll would be opened, like, and somebody would stand and read that scroll. And I would say, brethren, they'd heard it a whole lot. You know, Jesus heard it. He was in the synagogue, and they read about that, and you know, He read it, and He sat down, and it said the eyes of everybody in the synagogue were on Him. And He let them watch for a few minutes, and then He said, this scripture is fulfilled today in your hearing. You heard it. It's Me. I'm here. It's been fulfilled. The Lord has anointed Me to preach, I can't quote it, but you know, good news to the captives and so on, sight to the blind. Good news to the captive. Open of the prison to the captive. And so, brethren, these prophecies are being filled. That's the context here. And Elizabeth, brethren, the words of Mary have been given a name for what she said. It's the Word of God. That's the name of it. But men have said, they call it the Magnificat. Magnificat, right? That's what they call it. When you hear that term, just know that they're talking about, whoever's using that term is talking about what Mary said when she came in contact with Elizabeth. Well, Elizabeth had her own Magnificat, I would call it. It came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, it says, Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste into a city of Judah and entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted Elizabeth. She didn't do that, brother. She said, hi, cousin. Hello, cousin Elizabeth. She would say if she were speaking English, how are you? Hello. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth, who has John the Baptist in her womb, the baby John the Baptist, he's about 6 months old at this point. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard that the salutation of Mary, the babe, John the Baptist, leaped in her womb. That's verse 41, chapter 1, Luke. And Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost and... Do you see that? I wrote a Bible study lesson some time ago. I was assigned with writing about the filling of the Holy Spirit. And I said, and I was simply saying what I had heard somebody say one time. It says, when you read in the Bible, so-and-so was filled with the Holy Ghost, you're usually going to see the word and, because something is about to happen when somebody's filled with the Holy Ghost. Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Ghost, and she spake out with a loud voice. Oh, brethren, when God's Spirit gets a hold of you, don't quench it. Go ahead and speak out. And said, Elizabeth said, blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb. I love that expression, the fruit of the loom. I've got a T-shirt on. If you look at the tag of it, it says fruit of the loom. I wonder if whoever started that company had read this verse right here. I don't know. Interesting to think about. But Elizabeth says to her cousin, Mary, you are blessed among all women. You are blessed. And also the fruit that's in your womb is blessed. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? Who am I that I would be in the presence of the mother and child, Madonna and child, the baby and the mother? Jan and I went to Washington, D.C. about 6 weeks ago, and we went to the Museum of the Bible. I recommend it to you. If you get up there, go. There was a there was a display on the wall. It was as big as this curtain. And there were these pictures like this, about this size up there. Just row and row and row of pictures up there on that display. And then there was a screen, a big screen, I don't know, about this big maybe, square. And you could stand there, and it would start with number one. They were numbered, two, three. It must have been 50 or 60 of them, I don't know. But when number one came up over there, number one, the little picture would come up on the screen. And every single one of those pictures was done by some artist. Some of them were famous artists. You would know the names if I could remember it. And some were people I'd never heard of. But every single picture up there, brethren, was Mary and Joseph. The artist idea of what they look like. We don't have a photograph of Mary and Joseph. But I say that, brethren, to let you know some of the most talented people that have ever lived, the thing they wanted to do was paint a picture of Jesus and Mary, her holding him in her lap, him looking up at her, or the halo around his head, all kinds of artistic renditions, I say to you. And I know maybe not a single one of them looked exactly like Mary looked or Jesus looked, but it's the thought that counts there, brethren. And it's not a sacrilege to do that, at least in my opinion. It's somebody that's wanting to praise God, wanting to paint their own Magnificat, like Mary painted hers with words. There it is. Go see it, brethren. And Elizabeth says, "Who am I? I'm going to preach the sermon on Elizabeth instead of Mary this morning if I don't get going." Elizabeth says, "Who am I? Who am I that the mother of my Lord should come to me?" What a question. Who am I? She's saying, "I'm not worthy. I'm not worthy to be in the presence of the Lord Jesus. He's a baby. He's a baby. He's just been conceived." There's a lesson, brethren. I prayed in my prayer that God would bless Roe v. Wade to be reversed so that babies just conceived will have a life, that they'll be brought to full term and live. "Whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come to me? For lo, Mary, as soon as the voice of your salutation sounded," as soon as I heard you say, "Hello, cousin," those are my words, "the babe leaped in my womb for joy." John the Baptist, brethren, leaped for joy. I have five grandchildren, two little girls and two little boys over here, and then a tiny little boy. But those cousins, brethren, they ask me when I go to my house and they're there, two of them are there, what they say, "Pappy, when are my cousins coming?" They want to see their cousins. "Where are my cousins, Pappy?" Their heart leaps when they see their cousins. Oh, what about John the Baptist, brethren? What about that? When he got in the presence of his cousin Jesus, his Savior, the one that he was the forerunner for. No wonder he leaped in his womb for joy. In her womb for joy. He leaped in the womb for joy. "And blessed is she that believed." She says, "Mary, you're blessed because you believe." What did Mary believe? What did she believe? Well, she believed, the angel said to her, "You found favor with God." She believed that. That's verse 30 in this chapter. "You're going to conceive in your womb." She believed that. "You're going to bring forth a son." She believed that. "You shall call his name Jesus." She believed that. "He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever. And of his kingdom there shall be no end." What a thing to believe. What a thing to put on somebody. Man, that's a lot, isn't it? You've been in class before and somebody says, "I put a lot of information on you." Good luck with it. You know, think about it. That's a lot to be put on Mary. But Elizabeth says she believed. And another reason I know she believed, brethren, is this. The angel said, "For with God nothing shall be impossible." Two women, two impossible things had happened to them, and it became possible because God was in it. And Mary said, here's evidence of her belief, "Behold, the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." Let's have it. Let's do it. All right. Let it be. And the angel departed from her. Mary then goes into the hill country of Judea. She goes to her cousin's house. She says, "Hello, cousin." John the Baptist leaps in the womb of Elizabeth, and Elizabeth speaks out her own blessing, praising God. She's filled with the Holy Ghost, and she praises God. And then Mary's turn. And that's what I came here for today, and I'm about out of time, I suppose, so I won't be able to say all I want to say, so here we go. I'll dive into it. And Mary said, verse 46, that's our scripture for today. And Mary said, "My soul doth magnify the Lord." Oh, brethren, my soul been magnifying the Lord. It is right now. My soul's about to bust wide open thinking about this, thinking about these verses and what God's done and what He's doing. And He's doing what He said He was going to do. "My soul doth magnify the Lord." You can't make, I can't make God bigger than He is. He inhabits eternity, inhabits everything we know, universe and beyond whatever is out there. He inhabits it all. I can't make Him any bigger, but I tell you what, I can make my praises bigger. I can make my thanksgiving bigger. I can make Him bigger in my life. Mary said, "My soul," she talks about her soul and her spirit here, brethren, in these two verses. "My soul doth magnify the Lord, and my spirit hath rejoiced." My spirit's rejoicing. In what? In God my Savior. God the Father, Son, Holy Spirit. She's rejoicing in God her Savior. God is your Savior, brethren. Jesus is God. He's the Word of God. He's the living Word of God. He's the incarnate Word of God. He's the risen God. God the Father. He feeds you every day. He saves you. He saves your hide every day. He saves mine every single day. And I don't even know it most of the time. I'm not aware of it. Sometimes the train stops me and I fuss and fret. And then I think, well, maybe there was that head on down the road. He's holding me up to keep me away from there. He saves me every day. He saves me. He feeds me. He clothes me. He protects me. And in addition to a timely salvation, temporal, everyday salvation from God, in addition to that, brethren, He saved me for eternity. He's made me His. And that the Son of God, God the Son, has done that. God the Father sent Him. You remember from Isaiah, it says, "My servant shall deal prudently." God the Father chose His only Son to die for sins that man had done. Emmanuel to the choice agreed and thus secured a numerous seed. Grace moved the cause for saving man, and wisdom drew the noble plan. There it is. God, brethren, is your Savior. If you've got one, it's God, brethren. If you're saved today, it's God. God the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. "My spirit hath rejoiced in God my Savior, for He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden." You know, Mary was lowly. She was poor. She was a young girl. What influence does she have anyway? None. She's young. She's poor. She's unmarried. Her fiancé is a carpenter. He's poor. They're not known. They don't people don't turn out when they walk down the street. They're not leading any parade. But you know what, brethren? God gives grace to the humble, and He resists the proud. "He hath regarded the low estate of His handmaiden, for behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed." How many generations have come and gone since Mary spoke those words? Well, it's been 2,000 years plus, so a lot of generations. And every one of them, brethren, there have been people that call her blessed, that bless Mary and say, "What a blessing. What a blessing to carry the Son of God in your womb." And we're doing it today. We're the latest generation to do it. And our children, God willing, will do it. And our grandchildren. "For He," or I'm going to stop with verse 49. I won't finish. "For He," I'll never finish. But I'll stop with this. And here's the main verse. "For He that is mighty hath done to me great things." She knew she was a blessed woman. She was blessed in that she was chosen. She found favor with God. Verse 30 says that. The angel said, fear not. I love the fear nots of the Bible. I love those. Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. The mighty God, He's going to do a great thing in and through you. Great things. Has God done great things, brethren, for you? Great things? At the beginning of the services, the announcements every week, I say, does anybody have a praise? I sure would like to hear a Magnificat from some of y'all. I try to make a praise. Of course, I'm the preacher. I'm supposed to, right? It's my job. But the Word of God says, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. You know, just say it. Just say it. You know, there was that famous Nancy Reagan thing, just do it. That was a good one. That's a good one. Jan and I were going out Friday night. We were looking for a snack, and we came by a place that said, just cake it. I whipped in there immediately. Well, I ran by it, but I turned around and came back. Just cake it. We like sweets. Good name. Just do it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. He that is mighty hath done to me great things. Brethren, because she knew His mercy is on them that fear Him. Every generation. She knew that He had showed strength with His arm. That He'd scattered the proud in the imagination of their hearts. He's put down the mighty from their seats and exalted them of low degree. He's filled the hungry with good things. She was hungry, brethren, for righteousness. She hungered and thirst after righteousness. And He'd filled her. And the rich He'd sent empty away. She knew that He had hoped. That's an archaic word for helped. He hath helped His servant Israel in remembrance of His mercy as He spake to our fathers, just like He said He would in Genesis 3:15, in Isaiah 52, in Jeremiah. Just like God said, He's great. He keeps His word. Just as He spoke to our fathers, to Abraham, and to his seed forever. And the most wonderful thing, brethren, He's done is He sent Emmanuel to come and die for her. She knew that, brethren. The Holy Spirit had taught her that. And if He's taught you that, brethren, you're a blessed person. If you know that you're saved, you're blessed. You're blessed. He's done great things for us, brethren. May we rejoice in this season. And because He's done great things, brethren, may we make a statement or fact that explains why something is the way it is, why someone does, thinks, or says something, or why someone behaves in a certain way. We behave in a certain way, brethren. I've behaved up here this morning in a certain way. I've said things that I've said for a reason. And the reason is, He who is mighty hath done to me great things. And I praise Him for it. Oh God, help us to not be ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ. May we say what God's done for us. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh God, thank You. In this season where we try to study about the incarnation of Christ, the coming of Emmanuel, oh Lord, may we see it again with a beauty which we've never seen it, a beauty only You can show us. Oh God, do that for us, please. Enlighten us, show us, inspire us, make us have fire in our bones. As Jeremiah said, I'm not preaching anymore. I'm not saying it. But then the fire got in his bones and he had to speak. He had to say it. He had to have relief. Oh God, bless us to do that. May we serve You above all, O Lord. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.